Thank you, Jesus. That's the faith in our hearts tonight, Father. Faith in your divine leadership. Here we stand tonight in your great mighty presence, Lord, confessing that we are unable to lead our own selves. We're so thankful, Lord, that you give a promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll be with you, even in you. And so, Lord God, it encourages our hearts tonight to be able to come and gather together in your presence, realizing, dear God, the great responsibility, Lord, that is given unto us in this hour as members of your bride, called by your Holy Spirit, called by the voice of the message of the hour in this day. Lord, realizing that time is running out, dear God. You said, redeem the time because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How we desire to see so clearly this great will, Father. How we desire to have it engraved in our hearts, where the word can be quickened and inspired. Lord, we can govern and influence our every thought and word and deed. That every move we make, Lord, will reflect you. That we can be in such harmony with you, Father, where you can have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. Where it will not be us who live, but be you who live in us, Lord. As Paul said, the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not I that live, it is Christ who liveth in me. You promised this great union would be here in your church in this hour, Father, where the head and the body will no longer be twain, but be one. Almighty God, tonight, we know this cannot be the work of a man. It will have to be the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, recognizing our insufficiency and our inability for this, Father, we come in humility, we come in surrender, we come in sincerity, dear God, drawing nigh unto you, knowing you promised you would draw nigh unto us. Take a hold of our hearts, Lord. Lead us by the Holy Spirit tonight. Lead us in places, dear God. Like you told Jeremiah, where there's certain great and mighty things that you don't know of. Oh, we are depending upon you tonight. That you would have your own blessed way in this service. We'll find favor and grace in your sight, Lord. And Lord, you'll do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Take full control in this service. Give glory to your great, mighty name tonight. Lord, I pray that no matter what the needs might be in the midst of your people, we remember your promise, Lord. Our God shall supply our needs according to his riches and glory. And if we ask for our bread, we'll not get a stone. When we stand praying, believe that we have received what we ask for and we shall have it. Almighty God, let faith be so stimulated tonight in the hearts of your children that the request that they might have in their hearts as they come into your great presence, remembering that you said, he that cometh unto you must first believe that you are and that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. May faith be so anointed tonight that the children, Lord, faith could rise up into such a realm that the sick would be healed. Oh, God, the weary wouldn't find rest, dear God. Father, them who are desiring something from you might be in a time where they need to make important decisions, might be at the crossroads. Oh, God, might find themselves in a place of desperation, dear God, where they need to hear from you urgently. I pray, dear God, that you will not fail them, Father. We know it is impossible for you to fail. So we are believing and we are asking tonight with faith. And may, dear God, that your children tonight receive the witness and the blessed assurance and the Holy Spirit, that the thing that they hold in their hearts, believing, expecting to receive tonight, that you have heard and you have answered, Father. Grant it, dear God, break the bread of eternal life and make yourself and your will so clear to us tonight. Dear God, we leave this service. We rejoice in our hearts, being so thankful for the opportunity that you have given unto us tonight to come and to be assembled in your divine presence. Have your own blessed way, Father. We love you and appreciate you. And we ask all these things in the precious, almighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. How many love the Lord tonight? Amen. It's always such a wonderful privilege, a blessed opportunity to come and to be in his presence. Amen. Open up the word tonight to the book of Romans and Romans chapter 9. We're going to portion out again and I'll portion out of Romans 11 as well. Just keeping you in remembrance of some of the things that you're trying to look at and maybe in a way that
promises on my Tuesday nights here. I'll just try to keep it along this line and keep it in the focus. Dear little and dear little, if you keep on walking, just giving God the opportunity to do something that He might want to do. Amen. Just to see how the Holy Spirit is going to move, because we always want to give Him the opportunity for Him to do what He wants. Amen. He knows just how to deal with children. He's the author, and He is the finisher of all faith. It's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And if we can just learn to trust Him, if we just learn to have confidence in Him, if we can just be convinced that He's more than able, then we're going to find that our struggles will become fewer and fewer. We don't have to be nervous, trying to work with nervous energy. Sometimes people, you know, they get trying to work under struggle of their human ability. But like Brother Ram spoke on Paul Rader Dream, he was trying to lift up the log and just weighing himself out, and he heard the sweet voice of the Master with his boss, and he said, "Paul, you're struggling. Don't try to do that. Don't try to lift up that log. Just ride on it." May we hear the voice of the Master tonight. Amen. Speaking through His word. But if you find that in this neurotic age, the pressures want to get at you sometimes, there's a place where a lot of that pressure tonight. Amen? Not by might, by power, by His Spirit. Not Him that willeth, Him that walleth, but God who showeth mercy. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Remember, you can't get desperate in the flesh. It's going to be a revelation of the Holy Spirit. When you don't see clear, you ask God, "Lord, make it plain to me." I will Elijah pray, "Lord, open the boy's eyes." Amen. Bible says, "Come by eye salve that your eyes would be anointed." God has eye salve that can anoint our eyes. God wants us to see something that is going to take the operation of the Holy Spirit in our life to make the vision plain. Remember, the outside teacher cannot make it plain to you. He's going to take the inside teacher, the Holy Spirit, teaching you and making it real to you. When God speaks, He can speak here individually to people, maybe on certain points, certain areas in the life, certain things might be necessary to you at this present time, but the Holy Spirit brings things back to remembrance, teaches us all things, shows things to come. Sometimes it might be even more profitable for Him to show us things to come, because it's going to mean the difference between life and death for some of us. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Romans 9. Romans 9 is a special division in the book of Romans, because Romans 9, Paul takes up the task of explaining why the Jews had to be blinded. In chapter 1 to 8, he dealt specifically with justification, the new birth, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, adoption, the redemption of the body. And then Romans 9, he begins now, after he finishes all these things, to take Romans 9, 10, and 11 to deal with the question of Jewish unbelief. And here in verse 1 he says, "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. But I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." If this was not true, this couldn't become the Bible. If you write that to kind of impress people that he had such a deep sorrow really, and he really didn't have no deep sorrow, it'd be a lie. It would be not being the truth. He'd be trying to pretend something he wasn't. And so God couldn't take that for us to live by that. But when he saw his own brethren blinded, and sight came to him to see what God did in that day, and they were trapped in the organization of Sadducees and Pharisees, he said, "I wish that I were cursed and they could see." I think that's a challenge for us. Sometimes we laugh at people who are blind. Because we know doctrine, we can say, "Serpent, see." But think of it. He looked at it and he says, because when he saw he himself was fighting the truth, that much more it made him sorrow to see these people, good people, many of them, couldn't see what he was seeing. They couldn't see Elijah come. They couldn't see the Son of Man revealed. They couldn't see the Holy Ghost had come back. "He's my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Israel was the only nation on the face of the earth who had those things. They had the scriptures, they had the prophets, they had the tabernacle, they had the pillar of fire, the presence of God. They had the history of the great exploits of God, David. They had the covenant God made with Abraham. They had the gift of the Lord upon Mount Sinai by the finger of God rooted. Think of it. Whose are the fathers? And of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. And then he makes it a powerful statement here. Not as though the word of God has taken no effect. The whole nation that had the law, had the prophets, had the covenants, had the tabernacle, had the service, had the glory, had the adoption, was blinded. The people who you would say served God for all these centuries, 1400 years, 1600 years, or more, and then to think that look how he says, you may think the word of God and take no effect. Just one or two people here and there was confessing that the Messiah had come. I think 9/10 of the world didn't know he was here. He came unto his own, received not. The light shone in darkness. Darkness comprehended not. They say, I was him crucified. That tells you about they were so certain he couldn't be the Messiah. To them, he didn't look like no Messiah. Only a few, 120 in the upper room, could have got to get the Holy Ghost. Out of millions in the earth at that time. And Paul says, but the word of God is not as though it didn't take effect. It took effect. God fulfilled his word. It came to pass. Not one iota failed. Exactly what God meant is exactly what came to pass. It's what now you can see what God really meant. Is what he's saying. He said, not as though the word of God hath not taken effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. He said, in other words, he's saying, God didn't mean this whole big Sadducee organization. God didn't mean this whole big Pharisee organization. God didn't mean all the Sanhedrin council, all these people. God didn't mean that. He said, these little remnants here is what God meant. This is seed when God was thinking about seed in his mind. See? Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. See? What is he explaining? He's explaining that the word of God took effect. And he's showing you now, God is Israel. All Israel is not Israel. And not because they are seed of Abraham, it make them children of the promise. He's telling us God had a limitation with that. God meant it a certain way, but you couldn't know what God meant until it began to interpret it. When God talked about a rapture and a bride in the last days, you can't know what God meant until that's been interpreted. Think of it, friends. Probably going to be very, very, very few. That is, they who in Isaac shall, but in Isaac shall I see be called. That is, they who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. And he gives a Bible example. He goes back to the book of Genesis. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And he goes and gives another example. He takes Isaac and Ishmael, and then he takes Esau and Jacob. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Let's jump down to verse 27. Isaiah also cried out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been a Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Let's turn to Romans 11. Verse 1. Verse 10, chapter 10, he explains to them about Israel tried to establish your own righteousness and have none of the righteousness of God. And he gave a lot of references. And then chapter 11, he's still in the same subject that he started in chapter 9. 9 and 11, he's dealing with one thing. And here he says, I say then, had God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's looking at the whole nation, all they're blind. He said, but did God cast away his people? He said, no, I'm an Israelite. I see it. I recognize it. Though I'm just one in a million, I believe it. God kept his promise. See? That's what he's saying. The seed of Abraham, and he gives his tribe to. I'm a tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. And then he goes now to the book of Kings. See, over here he's in Genesis with Abraham and Sarah. See? Ishmael and Isaac. Then he goes to Isaac and Rebecca with Esau and Jacob. Now he goes to the book of Kings in the time of Elijah. He's backing it up with scripture. He's letting them see God kept his word. Look at it in the Bible. See? God hath not cast his people whom he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture said of Elijah? How he maketh intercession of God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down their altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who had not bowed a knee to the image of Baal. So that a whole nation caught up in Jezebel religion, in idolatry, rejecting Elijah. See, Elijah was Christ. If you remember my message on the song of the abundance of rain and those things, Elijah was Christ. See? And yet, in that nation, though the whole nation was in idolatry, God had 7,000 who didn't bow down the knees. So Paul is saying, look, God has kept a remnant. The whole nation could be off, but God have elect. He's trying to show them that. And then he says, even so then, see? He gives that reference to strengthen his point. Even so then, at this present time, he blew the present time, his time. Also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And he said, I am one of them. I'm an Israelite, but I'm an elect according to the remnant of grace. See? And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. If you see this, friend, you didn't try to see it. God by grace showed to you. There's no other way you could see it. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. See, they sought for it, but they didn't get it. Because it's not going to come by they seeking for it. It's going to give them by predestination. See, will God cast his people what? Who me? For you. Those who for you predestinated, predestinated call. Really call it just like that you already glorified. In the Bible. See? But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now let's drop down to verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also not spare thee. See? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them who fell. Severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. May the Lord bless you in his word. May I have a seat. Sometimes we read scripture like that, but it's just too much to speak on, because what it will take to cover it in a way that you could grasp the teaching of the scripture. In it is contained the mystery of God and God ways. If I want to take, I'm going to take a title tonight, I would like to call it the goodness and severity of God. He said, behold, therefore, the goodness unseverity of God. Severity on them who fell, but goodness on you. And here we, in this hour, is seeing God cutting off the Gentiles again, now rather, and beginning his work of grafting back in the Jews. The very reason he rushed them back in the homeland is to graft them in again. The very reason that the Gentiles have rejected this message and all the denominations don't believe it today is because that's the severity of God upon them. The reason that you see it, that's the goodness of God towards you. We are beholding it again. Just like it was there. Severity that they couldn't see. But that was the Messiah. That man there from Nazareth was the Messiah. That was God in the flesh. That man who looked so tired that day when he stood by that tree so hungry and he wanted something to eat and he hungered. And he looked at that tree expecting to find fruit and there was no fruit. He was so hungry. A hungry man is an angry man. He said, cursed be this tree and no man eat from it anymore. They who look at this man were so tired in the boat that day. Look at his humanity. Mark says he had a pillow. Could you imagine God sleeping on a pillow? Probably, I don't think he's really sleeping. Just resting between revivals. Amen. And yet, but here he was, tired. So much virtue had gone out to him. And here he stood, crossing over on the other side, and he knows that when he get there, he'll have a lot of work to do. More virtue will be pulled out to him because the woman with the issue of blood was waiting. Jairus' daughter was waiting. And so, he took time to rest a little bit and recuperate. Because much virtue had left him in the healing services. While he was there resting, they saw him tired and the storm came. But yet they saw something beyond the humanity of the man. They saw deity, deity behind humanity. He looked like a normal man, like any one of them, lying down there, holding the pillow, hugging the pillow, sleeping a certain way, crouched up in the corner, as the boat crossed the lake. But yet, inside of there, he was the very God who spoke the worlds into existence. And when the storm came and the winds began to blow and it seemed it was going to destroy everything, and they tried everything and they couldn't remedy the situation, and they said, Master, in desperation, cares thou not me perish? He was so calm. Like many of us are retired and we had to get on parade how we roll off the bed like that, all in one. Some of us perfect the art of it. And just get down on your knees. I could just see him roll off the place where he was sleeping, stood on his feet, walked towards the rail and put his foot and says, peace be still. All in one smooth motion, such a rhythm of the word, him break a stride. Amen. And then turn right back around and say, oh, you have little faith, and hold his pillow a little tight and try to get back right in where he was before. And for a brief moment, they saw a manifestation of deity that was laying there, a glimpse of it, the power that created the universe. Just come and display like that. It's so wonderful when we think of the reality of God. The grace of the Holy Spirit that is present with the believer that could lead us into these great things that we are looking for. God promised them. Many is yet to learn and understand the faithfulness of the God who, when he speaks a word of promise, it is impossible for him to lie. He knows already how he's going to bring it to pass. He knows the conditions. He knows how it's going to bring glory to his name. He knows how he's going to strengthen the faith of his people. He knows how he's going to prove to them he can master all circumstances. He knows how he's going to make it difficult and to make it a little more dramatic that they can see that their God is all powerful and the devil ain't no match for their God. He knows just how he's going to do it even before he speaks it. And that's why sometimes he lingers with us to bring us to a relationship, to bring us to know him, to bring us to try our faith, to cause us to exercise our faith, to get glimpses of him that we can have confidence. That when the time approaches, we can say, he's fixing to move. He's getting ready. Amen. He's girding up his loins. Amen. He's calling them east wind and the west wind, the north wind. His great chariot. He's going to come and move with speed of a lightning. Amen. Expectation, because God is fixing to move. And you know that when He moves to bring His word to pass, His word that His people held their believing, His word that they was walking with faith, His word that they was praying, they was singing about it. Amen. They was expecting it. His word that He showed them how to recognize the time when it is to be fulfilled, where expectation rises in their heart and they know it shall come to pass. Amen. God will perform a paradox. Regardless, things look contrary to the eye. They know God is all powerful. Such a great thing to live in His presence, to walk in His company, to be associated with Him. There's never a person like Him in all the history of mankind. And to think that we have this privilege in this hour. To think that we have been called as mortals. To think that the Holy Spirit has labored to put this revelation in our heart. Our will have tried to resist it so many times. Our own ideas and our own knowledge have exalted itself so many times. But yet the great master builder in grace, amen, working in our lives to bring forth a people, amen, who will not have the force to surrender, but who will deal with in such wisdom that they will surrender voluntarily, amen. He knows how to break them. He knows how to wound them, amen. He knows how to cast them down. He knows how to put them on their back. He knows how to bring them in repentance. He knows how to bring them in humility, amen. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Lord God, You are the Almighty, amen. Hallelujah! Every individual will consider that privilege. Every individual will rejoice in the thought that God, in grace, have extended His mercy to them. They will see themselves so privileged. They say, I'm serving God, but I don't want to do this, you know. But God forced me to do how to do it. Because I know I'll get in trouble if I didn't do it. No. They say, I love to serve God. If I had a million lives, I'd give everyone to Him. Amen. I can't see anything greater than walking in His presence. Because every time He unfolds more of His person to us, we see our own unworthiness. We see our nothingness. We see our insufficiency. We see our insignificance. Amen. Who am I, Lord, that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I that You would come to me, Lord? Who am I that You would consider and use up Your valuable time to give attention to me? It'll be like that to us. And we love Him with a love that will come out of our hearts. A praise will come out of our lips that no one else will be able to love Him and praise Him that way. It'll be the kind of marital bliss that exists between the husband and the wife. See? So taken up with each other. And that love will be perfected inside of us. That's why the prophet said just before they go into rapture, that just like it was beyond the curtain of time, is so it is going to be among believers before the rapture goes. Then if that is so, that's a condition. If that's a prerequisite for this great thing, then there is something we ought to be looking to. Trying to move into the channel, trying to receive more of it, trying to let go, trying to empty out, to be filled with this thing. What is it? He said, this is the Holy Ghost. God Himself, the God of love, shedding abroad the love of God in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The very capstone of love, the dynamics that you're working on, measure the greatest power, the greatest force in the world, divine love. Amen. God will make us look away like the prophet taking his natural gun. He felt for it. The one thing that he felt could defend himself against this enemy. The one thing that is going to bring security to his life. The one thing that science has invented to give him superiority over his enemy. Where he has an assurance and a very good chance of coming out of this thing alive. And God will make man put these things away and rely upon God. Amen. You don't need nothing of this world. Amen. You'll come back to the place where man and God walk together in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Where there's no signs of man yet. Amen. To come between man and God. But it's just the pure divine fellowship. Existing relationship. Trust and confidence. Where man is in oneness with God. We can walk in that presence. What a reality. A great reality. We see these things in the world. We think about it. We desire it. we ponder in our hearts. We see the time it's supposed to happen. God identify the time because God proved us the time. It makes us look up and lift up our heads. It put a new dimension in our praying. It put a more refined focus in what we look for. It put a different attitude in our behavior. Amen. That where there's more humility and sincerity, where we are coming to harmony with God, where people can tell that there's progress in our life, where people can tell we are not stagnated, where people can each passing day see people being transformed, each day looking more and more like Jesus Christ. They know there's an unseen power behind that life. And when they come and they ask you what it is, you have something to tell them. You can present Jesus to them. You can present this reality to them. Why? Because here he is, alive and well. Living in you, amen. In that day, you know I in you and you in me. You can tell them about this Jesus who promised that he was going to live in his people. All that God was important to Christ. All that Christ was important to the bride. And in that day, you'll know I in you and you in me. Father, I pray that they may be one as I and you are one. That they'll no longer be twain, they'll be one. And the marriage of the Lamb is come. The time of that union is come. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. And you can tell them of this hope. You can tell them of this reality. Something that has struck your heart. What it is? The goodness of God. You have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. You shall not die. The last plague will not strike you. Why? You will see that Exodus prophet. You will see them two signs. You will see that mess of the token. You will see that covenant that God is making to bring you to safety before he poked his wrath. You shall not die. Death is not for you. You are going out in the Exodus. Amen. Glory be to God. You shall not die. But you shall see the goodness of God. The goodness of God. God had prepared a prophet. God had provided a token. God had provided a pillar of fire. Amen. God had provided a message of deliverance. God had provided signs to confirm the commission. God who sent no manna. Amen. God had provided a smitten rock. God had provided a brass serpent for healing. Glory be to God. The goodness of God. But in the world, the severity of God. Locusts devouring the land, invading and taking over. Locusts darkening the land, bringing a gross darkness upon the people. Supernatural devils becoming incarnating people, making them perform all kind of hideous crimes. Every day we read of it in the paper. Every day, the kidnappings, the murders, the rapes, every day. In a little island, 70 miles by 40 miles. We read of it every day. There's not a day past. The headline don't jolt you when you see it. The land is being drenched with blood. And you read in the Bible when blood was in the land. And there's no one to remove that and to clean that land. That land could be cleansed. See? There's no one know how to make an atonement that the evil and the judgment is upon the people. God don't change. All these things in the Bible, Deuteronomy 21. When God began to make inquisition for blood. When he began to move through the land. When God sees, before these acts are carried, make them, they are planned in secret chambers. Men sit down. Like the very murder case right now that's going on. Man say a certain word. The signal. See? To execute the people. And then you realize, it's why? Men planting, premeditated, take counsel of it. Choose a time, choose a way of deception to execute it. And God is seeing the heart, the evil, out of the wickedness, the wicked heart of men. The heart that is hardened in the last days because of rejection of a message that has circled this island. See, from 1967 to 1996, a message circled this island. And the judgment filling up in the land. Think of it. In reality, God opening his word and drawing the believers out to enlighten us, to give us spiritual understanding. To see the program of God. To see the judgment, the fulfilling of the Bible. Let's move in the land to see the urgency of the hour, to see how the believers should be walking. Sometimes people miss it. It's not real to them. So you see the severity of God coming. Look at men praying. And all these people, you know, they get so taken, they get under the wisdom of mind. People walk by sight so much. They hear of all these kind of things, and boy, they take every precaution. They have bugla alarm, they have bugla proof, they have insurance policy, they have this, they have that, they have all kinds of different things for every, because fear has got a hold of them. They want security, and every way that they try to make their existence secure, make their possessions secure. See, trying to do all these things. They don't want to eat, they don't want to drink in that glass, they don't want to do this here. But sometimes they feel safe in the confines of their own home, barricaded and everything else. And some little mosquito come in with dengue and bite them and finish them. And you see, you're wasting the time. God make the wisdom of man foolishness. Foolishness. Laugh at them. See? The people don't... People... They get so wise and they become foolish before God. And God knew every flea at Bath's eye. They are messengers of God sent to pronounce judgment. Coming and bite people. Sure. Nearly bug, messengers of God sent there. Spend millions and billions of those. Import all kind of scientists. Do all kind of things. See? But they eat down everything. Can't stop it. If you have any... understanding, go back to the Bible and you'll see in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, why these things come. And you realize God is unchanging. God's word does not change. 20th century and science don't make it. Because us in the 21st century, still make God still the same person revealed in this Bible. Tremendous time. The goodness of God has come to us. Why we can have the hope we have tonight, the things that we are enjoying. We could sit and think around the world. The eyes of our understanding could be enlightened. Not just to know the hour is late, not just to know the judgment is coming, but to see the God, how He has worked. To see what He is doing. To see the thoughts in His own heart right now. Because it's revealed in the Bible. To see the things that He thought of and He has purpose in Himself to bring to pass in this hour. And the way He has showed in shadow and type, how He will do it in order that He might let Himself be better known by His people. So that though 10,000 fall on this side and 1,000 on their side, they could stand with confidence. Though in a time of trouble, He'll set them in His pavilion. Though in a time of trouble like never since upon the face of the earth. But a Michael will come to deliver the names written in the book. He'll call them and seal them and stash them away because they are a remnant according to His election. So His people could safely trust in Him. That's what it's about tonight. It's not about getting frightened. No. It's enjoying the rest that God has given. It's having confidence in the power of this God who has spoken it, who showed how accurate His word was, how precise it was, how faithful He is to come and remember that word and bring the past, and what grace He has given by letting us see it in an hour when He wasn't even looking for it. He passed our way, amen. Like the woman at the well, she wasn't even looking in that day from going by the well, trying to escape all the criticisms and the ridicule and the humiliation of the other people. Trying to get a water at a time when the other woman wasn't around the well. And He knows just in the weakness and just in the things when to pass to meet them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let my quickened man bring them to life to recognize His promise. When we see that, we see the goodness of God. God is so good. Mwari wakanaka. God is so good, amen. He's so good to me. I love Him so, amen. He answers prayer. Come down this day and open His word. Paul says,
Isn't that though the word of God is taking? It's taking fact. He said, look at me. I'm an Israelite. Look at me. I'm a Gentile. Oh, the Gentile world is blinded. But look at me. I'm a Gentile. Amen. And I see the light has come. Amen. It's risen upon me and glory shall be seen. Hallelujah. You saw it for us. Paul called his tribe. Called his nation. He knew down in his soul, on the inside of that body, the representation of predestination. He spoke of being chosen Christ before the foundation of being quickened and raised up in heavenly places. And the desire to make all men see the fellowship of this mystery that he had. To be so tremendous. Sometimes I talk here Tuesday and I come to preach. I come back here after I just testify. You know, this last couple months here, you see the Holy Spirit just quickly just move out. You know, it come like, go by the way of carpets. But I'm after you're praying out in the bush here. Get lost away, and then all of a sudden, George Carter. See, he heard this little sheep bleating. When he realized, God was shooting him something, and then the voice would go by the way of Carter. And here this girl, crippled, paralyzed, in a condition there, but he's going there under the power of a vision, under the influence of the word, to break the bands and bring deliverance, to raise her up into a condition that she could not have gone into because of the powers that held her and to that bed. And had a bedridden where she couldn't. She got up there and she went to play the piano that day. Her long hair falling, she walked outside, going to play with the leaves and bless the leaves and everything else. She was so rejoicing. Why? Man walking there with a vision. Man walking there anointed and commissioned. A man walking there with an instrument in the hand of Almighty God with a warning season to break that thing and to raise up because the hour of deliverance had come. It didn't change the world, it didn't change the whole village. The elected receive what God had for them. See, things like that move. And the spiritual rampant. This last couple of months, go down there into Petrolia, see the Holy Spirit moving that church like that. Take the word and just pick the people up to a place. The presence of God come down, but around the church, one big rainbow in the church. The minister. So they begin to testify to the people of the presence of God. The thing that begin to open, begin to confess that this is that cycle coming back around. This is these things to bring the faith. He was feeling that faith moving inside of there. He was wondering how to for us to come back and I was preaching and looking at him there. Come off the platform, sit on a chair, and he came and took over the platform, begin to speak. And the people knew it was him, but different. And I sit down there and I watch, knowing that he walked right into the same presence that is here. Begin to talk a certain way. Begin to talk a certain language. That God had to give you a mouth to talk that language. People can try to say it, but unless the Holy Spirit gives you the divine utterance, you'll be fumbling around with yourself. But the Holy Spirit, you want to mouth me to speak. He came back off. The song leader was reading some songs of worship. The presence of God is among the people. He sat next to me and I looked him in the eye. I said, brother, I said, if ever you want me to come back, I said, don't be afraid to ask. I said, it don't have to be no meeting. I could come just for you, for your people. I could come Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, miss one service, and I'm just for you and your own people. He broke down instead of crying. He said, brother, just what you said and how you say it is exactly what I have in my heart and I didn't know to ask you. He said, this is the second time it happened to me to just like that. And all the presence of God is all over the place. The people caught up. Something had happened. Then the other brother in Canada, there, brother John Simon, he was so struck with the word. He said, brother, someone to come and lay these things down the church. He said, I never really even look at some of these things in the world. So then he being a person, I said, well, you know, I said, I hope you don't be protracted meeting this. You and your people. And I didn't want to tell him that. Just you and your people. Because it's people who pull in for it. It's not I want it to be heard, but I want to be able to be on place to is that Jesus picked the man by himself.
That's what the atmosphere is right. Leave the city of the unbelief. Who is coming on to speculate? Who is coming on for meeting and defending? But those who believe, because in those services, things have to be spoken.
And things are being spoken. It's not just being spoken general, friends. You have to identify things in the first person as God. And people have either have to believe it or not believe it. Because it's a promise in the word you're talking about. And it's a promise in the word you're talking about, then it's either God did it, doing it, or it's not God. And if it's being done, then it can't be man. It has to be God, because only God can interpret his own word. Because the thing that is there is beyond man. We're walking out here to the restaurant, and this old man, the deacon, old patriarch, about 60-something years, an old Dutch man, he says,
brother, he says, those things this morning, they say, no man can speak them things. He said, I was new, that was God. He said, brother, we came to the perfect altar. He said, I was not him neither. He said, we knew that wasn't him. He said, that was God.
I'm going there this last weekend. I see the Spirit of God come down and move among the people.
Brother, they ministered right there in the hotel room to open up the word to him and to see. It's like the prophet in the cave, down came an angel, took the Bible, began to flip the pages. He walked out that room different. When he walked out that room, he went to his church in the middle of the night. And he begins to say, my name is Simon. He said that this man is saying things hard to understand. He said, and the thing that he's saying is that there are few people in the world speaking things. He said, not everybody comes and put them things together and put it together so clear and bring it like that. Yeah, I have my place, but this is something else. They were so struck with the word. Something was just moving there. It's like while people yet speak these words, in the speaking of the word, man. And when God slips in there, that word is the creative voice of God that said, let there be light. How did a chaotic world become an Eden? God spoke into that place. How did valley of dry bones become a mighty mountain? God spoke into that place. When the spirit of prophecy comes in and takes over, God begins to speak. Is the word proceeding forth from the mouth of God? It is the energized spirit quickening seed. The child returns to God void. Put faith in people's hands. Take the fear out. Break that power of fear. And give people faith to believe God and trust God to sacrifice and surrender the word. In simplicity, in humility. Sometimes not for the whole service. Sometimes the prophet say, like what we feel. He say, I'm talking a little bit, talking, create a feeling. It's when I feel him, then I go to the ceiling. Man conscious how to work with the spirit. Man conscious of spiritual laws. And when he stood there, that was the same mouth when the spirit moved in Genesis 1 and said, let there be light. That was the same thing. That's why he could have said it is a miracle, because it could not fail. That's where the believer who are sensitive to the spirit. When you see, everything is a gear. Gift is a gear going in. And when you dare and you perceive the spirit, take it another octave. And the current begins to flow to you because it's a pull of faith and because you are in the rhythm, you're in the harmony, you connect it up with what's happening. See? Because you come to service praying, you come to service expecting. Because you come to service understanding the hour. Because you've been taught in the word and it's placed out in the scripture. You see the time and you know what the Holy Spirit wants done with the word. And you know you are expecting to meet with him, you're expecting to hear from him. And no matter what the circumstance, whether it's a cancer, it has to go back, because it's only a devil that can't stand the presence of God. It might hold you for long, but when it comes before God, it has to go back. If you believe it and you reject that thing, amen? Why? Because while the word is coming, yeah, you are tying your soul to the absolute, to the God of the amen, the God of unfailing promise, the God of finality. You're saying, God, that is your word. That is nothing but the truth. I believe it, Lord. I receive it. I'm mixed with faith. I'm submitting. I'm thanking you for it, Lord, because that's your word.
Brother, you watch his soul break through all that doubt and fear and wondering. Amen. Your soul get connected up with God, where you get energized with the Holy Ghost. No, there then is no longer some sermon, some explanation, some idea, some empty rattle. It's a spirit quickening the word, amen. Creating faith in your heart, bringing you to a place to let you see the goodness of God. Because God has poured out to you as an elect. God don't take back. Because you see it, because you are elected to see it, because you are part of the remnant according to the election of grace. The Gentile world is to be burned with fire. But before that Gentile world can be burned with fire, God has to be elected and he's called out. The seventh seal. Come down to pick up some Gentiles from around the world. Mighty Gentile warriors. Picking them up between his rejection and before he comes into power. Gentiles! Remnant according to the election. And they have seen the goodness of God. They live in the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads man to repentance. Man don't get beat on the head with a stick. No! The goodness of God leads him to repentance. Amen. He thanked God for the grace and the mercy. He said, I saw love, mercy, and grace. Amen. I envisioned his beauty. I look on his face. I saw love, mercy, and grace. Hallelujah! All to Jesus I surrender. Why? Something strike them on the inside. It's a reality, friend. It's a reality. And you look out in the world, and you see the people becoming more hideous. Women, people that you know, a couple of months, years ago, oh my, like they were seen, said the girl, then they begin, you see them for a season, and you bounce up in the bus, in the maxi. Oh, you're passing the village. I said, you see them, my goodness, the dress caught up a little more, the hair caught up a little more, the face pale, the hardness of the world is upon them. Amen. It's showing all through the paint and everything else. No matter what they try to do for beauty, they can't hide it. They're hideous. Amen. There are atmosphere around them. Oh, they're all nervous and they're wondering. There's no faith. There's no joy. They're trying to play religious, but when they do talk about God, it's more uncertainty than anything else. And you realize they're restless, a wandering star. You're going to need to pull them aside. Put them to sit down and say, relax yourself. Let me talk to you. Let me testify to you. But the thing is, many of us are so weak many times to testify. We ought to have a word of testimony, amen. To testify to people, to give them a reason of their hope, to tell them about their promise. Tell them about the love of God. Tell them about the love of God that can raise them up. Tell them about the goodness of God you experience in this hour. Glory. You see something real. Love in your heart move you. Where did love come from? You've seen the goodness of God. That's why you have love to testify. God has been good to you. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Amen! My heavenly home, my theophany, bright and fair. I feel the pull. Amen! Glory be to God. I feel like traveling on. Amen. One of these days I'll be missing, I'll be gone. Amen. Hallelujah! Don't go looking for me like they were looking for Elijah. You won't find me. Amen. I'll be in another dimension. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's where we want to be, friends. That's the atmosphere, the rapture, where he's catching your will. He's taking you up. He's bringing you into his pavilion. And the time of trouble. Oh, you groan sometimes. You cry for those on the outside. Why? Because they fail to recognize. They fail to listen to you. As the prophet says, he says to me, he said, I'm happy. But he said, when I see what is happening, and this one is missing it, I'm going to miss it. He said, I tremble on the inside. He said, but for me, I'm happy. I'm going. But it's not a selfish thing. I ain't glad they lost. No. I wish you could listen. Amen. I wish you could humble yourself. Look at the very thing that I went after the guy in joy today. The very thing that tear their life up. But destroy the home that they went after. Oh my, what it ought to be. Just to let go and let God. Don't you want to do that tonight? Just to let go and let God. Get into a place of the Lord. I'm hearing the teaching. I'm hearing the word. Oh, it's a lot of things. Oh, it's nice. But Lord, my heart, the condition, the faith, the atmosphere, the joy, the relationship, the power of God, the Holy Ghost moving me. It's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Amen. I want that experience of the Holy Ghost burning in my soul. Oh, that thing that's driving me on the outside there, rugged everyday living for Christ on the battlefield making converts, giving every man a reason to hope that's inside of me.
Glory be to God.
Oh my, that's the place you want to be. Look at Paul and them, they understood what's happening. They saw the world miss the message. See, he's saying, look, the word of God prophesied to the earth has not failed. He said, but rather God, true meaning and intention has been made plain. God had a meaning in his mind when he was Abraham and his seed. God just told Abraham, Abraham, you and your seed. I make this covenant, you and your seed after you. And all them Jews read that. They said, praise God. Isn't God good? Isn't God great? I'm expecting that. And God didn't mean that. They took it for granted. Yeah, but look at the black and white. God said Abraham and seed. But God didn't say Abraham and his seed according to his faith, not his flesh. God didn't go all there. And that is the way when God speaks and we pick up the message and read it. You know, the prophet says that. Man, God says that. And God said, the bride, oh yeah, and fight me. I believe the message. Oh, it could go a little deeper than that. It runs a little deeper than that many times. All Israel is not Israel. The prophet says, so all Christians are not Christians. In Romans 2, Paul says, not a Jew outwardly, but is a Jew inwardly. It's not a Christian outwardly, but is a Christian inwardly. It's not a Christian outwardly with long hair, no paint, long dress. It's not a Christian outwardly, but a Christian inwardly with faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. My, the Gentile nations is wrong. It's doomed. Hell is in the earth. Look at the conditions. Look at the hardness of men's hearts. Look at the hardness of the heart of the nation. Over 1,000,000 people, refugees from Rwanda, dying left and right. And then all them nations in the hotel room, I was looking at the news, and I showed my boys. I said, what's on? I said, but they have basketball 24 hours a day. They have all kind of 56 movies and cable and everything else. I said, but here is over 1,000,000 people dying and people drunk with basketball, football, netball, tennis, from one channel, movies, gun smoke, this, that. And the whole nation drunk, absorbing, soaking in those things. And over 1,000,000 people dying, refugees, and everybody dragging their feet. I said, just so that the nations of the world stood up and let 6,000,000 Jews die before they even did anything. And here we live in an age like this, and people are still capital. When you think that is almost the equivalent of the population of Trinidad and Tobago you're talking about. Dying like the rest of the world stand by. And that's why when they preach the word sometimes and it says one of these days here, let's pause, let's give it away, who take it? It seems far fetched. But look at this situation right here. You know what? If you weaken the nation, they put up the right kind of government that politicians will want. They can control resources, they can control trade, they can have a puppet government, and the bigger powers can use the purchase. So where did 1,000,000 die? Isn't they killing them? Isn't all judgment killing? They're killing their own people, so let them fight. Let them fight the house. Don't get in family business. You just give to your neighbor, and nation will do the next nation. And the world is good. When iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall not stand. If you think iniquity before our eyes, it'll be different. Don't you realize it's happening? When you see these things, don't you know it was supposed to be here now? In a time of trouble. Under that fifth seal, the prophet said, amateur tribulation. Before that, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. You ain't about great tribulation yet. And the coming of the Son of Man is between amateur tribulation and great tribulation. If you look at Hitler and Eichmann and them in the amateur tribulation. Then, 1962, he said, look, five flies in a straight line. What is it? The beginning of sorrows, the birth of the infant church. Then, Psalms 27, the rapture. In a time of trouble, I'll hide in my pavilion. When Michael comes on to deliver them names, in a time of trouble! The conditions in the air today. You see what's happening everywhere. They're not a myth. Look at the war in Bosnia again. Look at the kind of thing. In a time of trouble, friends. believers. We had a very sister who died some time ago from Trinidad here, went quite into Africa as a nurse, got married to a person in the government in Rwanda, accepted the message over there, serving God here. Every time she come back on vacation to see her family, she'd come there in the assembly, end up getting AIDS over there with bad medicine and different things. Working with people there and die, and then to think that you see the condition there. Full houses burned down, husband was killed, everything. When they had a genocide, they put the Hutus in the Tutsis. So, I mean, you say Trinidad, I say that to say this, it's a small world. She's going to Trinidad and be right in the assembly. So, somebody said, oh, that's in Rwanda, we're in the back of God, and I don't know where it is. It doesn't bother me, at least. What bothers me is the neighbor next door. You know, because our vision is small. Sometimes. And when we think that God is on you and your neighbor, God is on the whole earth. God is on the age. Amen. And there's no one free from it. Right? And that is where, until the Holy Spirit don't take a person and move them out into that sphere where the word is coming to pass. They see the scripture being fulfilled. Yet the Holy Spirit written and punctuating those things in their heart. And they say, Father, I see your word coming to pass. I see there's nothing left but the coming of the Lord. Even so come, Lord Jesus. It's only your coming going to save this earth from destroying itself. You see, you cry out. You see a neighbor out there. You see a family out there. Different ones. Oh, I had the opportunity this last couple of months to slip in on those two trips again and pass by some of my family and some other things who used to be in the assembly. Talk to them even that last Sunday where some of them came down to the service as well. Who now live in Canada. And had the chance to talk to them and put the weightiness of the word and the burden of the word upon them. What are you all doing out here? What are you come out here for? Has your purpose been achieved? Are you re-evaluating your decision? See? Are you re-examining all these things that you do to come here to achieve? Have you diverted into other things now? What is the real thing? Are you in the love of God? Could you still stand with your original leading? Is God blessing it? Put the witness of the word upon them. Because it's a serious hour. We just can't be wasting time. It's redeeming the time. You see, friends. Because remember, apply the token or die. Everything outside the token will perish. You must be there to show the covenant is in effect. To show that the believer has carried out the word of the prophet. They didn't just hear it and sympathize with it. They didn't just debate it. They didn't just take it and stick it somewhere in the Bible or put it under the pillow somewhere. No, but they carried out, they acted upon it because they recognized it was nothing but the truth. God is not chaff with all Gentiles at this present time. Chaff everywhere upon the face of the earth. But what? We're poetry. Nothing. We're poetry. Did you read much people here? Did you hear them? So much people do. Is sitting out in places listening to the lie, getting a strong delusion to believe it, and then be done by it. Telling them that denomination is the way. Telling them to get baptized anyhow. Telling them that God loves them. Telling them that God loves a good giver, and all these different things. You're not trying to get them to give their life and their heart to the Lord as much as trying to get them to empty their pockets. You see, a message like this, which has already been rejected, could not gain popularity. It's not going to gain popularity because it is prophesied to be rejected. So judgment is coming. Prophesied. They shall be blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and don't know. It shall be prophesied. It's prophesied in the last day. It's put him on the altar of the church. If that is broken, the scripture is broken, but the scriptures cannot be broken. See, all Christians are not Christians. There is something on the inside of the true Christian. And Paul began to identify himself. That he was assured he's a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. That is the outward part. But then those who God called you. The Christian on the inside. Hallelujah! The Israel on the inside. He was in the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He was living now by the faith of Abraham. He didn't just come Abraham flesh. He had Abraham faith. He didn't stagger the promise of God through unbelief. God, Paul begins to explain something here in Romans. First, he shows them in Romans 9. He said, God didn't mean all these people in this message. You think God mean all the people in this message? You born by first contact? You see, there are a lot of people who born under this message. That is just a reformation thing. In other words, they are bringing forth, they didn't strike them as the message. They didn't strike them as the prophet, as the mind. Not the spirit. Not the faith. Not the revelation. The mind. So what they bring forth? They bring forth the characteristics of the mind. Oh, they come humbling. Good evening, friends. Is that in place? Have you gone hunt? Have you gone fish? They wear Levi's. They do everything. Why? To bring forth that. Oh, they want the picture on the wall. They want this. And every little artifact that they could get. They want an eagle bell buckle. They want a bumper sticker. They want a cap. You know, with seven candlesticks in it or something. They want to get a picture taken out in front of the tabernacle. If you could get one inside the pulpit, you could sit on the prophet chair in the den room, it would be much more better. If you could get a close relationship with the prophet family, it would be even super. If you could get personal letters from them, oh my, then they will feel like a celebrity and even so part of a selected few. That is important to them. And Paul says, knowing him after the flesh. He will bring forth the fruit of the flesh. But what's something? He goes now to explain it. He said, no, God didn't mean that. God didn't mean that. There's a faith inside of you. And God, when he spoke that promise, Abraham and his seed, God intended that with a limitation. The Paul began to show them, look what, let me show what God really means. Now, when you understand that, you understand today. Because the same way they were blinded, when they come to us, you say, no, we are blinded, so take it back to them. If you go back and read this time, you will see the very time when that vision of the coming of the Lord, Revelation 10, is coming to him with the seven angels, the blast of seven angels. He opened the Bible, and he came to Romans 9. In Romans 9, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. God was telling the people was going to reject the message. They were going to stumble at it. Denominations was not going to accept it. Why? Because they will do exactly what the Jews did. They hold on to the substitute and they reject the reality. And he said, Lord, if that is you, let come back again. You open the Bible, come back on Romans 9 again. We look down through the years and we see a lot of things that sound good 15 years ago. Sound good 20 years ago. But where it is 20 years after? Like a plague. Like a plague. Why? Because it didn't come forth from the faith. Paul goes to Abraham's house. Inside Abraham's house, they didn't have to him. Ishmael and Isaac, he said, them is Abraham's seed, both of them is Abraham's seed. He said, but look at God. Who say Abraham and his seed, he don't mean anything about Abraham's loins. He said, look, God say, my covenant is with Isaac. Relationship, fellowship, him. Blessing, this one. And all the, God bless this one for your sake. But my covenant is here. My relation, my promise is here. A lot of people in the message, all they get is blessings. Stand up here, no relationship with God, no reality of God, no presence of God, no God comes from his covenant, no leadership, no opening of the word. Go to church, have all the artifacts. Come as a believer. What do you mean? Look at my bumper sticker. You got the pyramid up here, have the cloud here, you have the profile and the rock here, you have all that? You know me, I'm a believer? You know me, I believe this message? Look at my bell buckle.
No, sir. Now, God ain't talking about that. Then Paul says, you say, maybe I started with one scripture. So Paul goes now, from inside Abraham's household, he narrowed it down and he brings it out of a womb. He said, look, Esau and Jacob in the same womb now. The first two was in the same household. He said, these two is twin in the same womb. He said, and God making distinction between the two of them. He said, you see, so when God said Abraham and his seed are same, God mean every seed. What did he say now? Change the concept. Because remember, when Jesus stood up here in St. John 8, they said, we are Abraham's seed. We are born in fornication like you. And the natural seed was condemning the royal seed. And he's saying, but if you are Abraham's seed, you'll do the works of Abraham. But there was only Jews outwardly. And he who didn't look like one outwardly, eating, drinking, you know, breaking corn, going to prostitute, talking to them, sitting down here with sinners, and they're scorning him. And he didn't look like Abraham's seed at all. Outwardly, he didn't really get accused of sin. He had the faith of Abraham. What is God looking at the message for today? Or a cloud on the wall, or a cloud in your heart? The pillar of fire over the prophet head, or the pillar of fire leading you every day in your life? A lot of people leave the pillar of fire back in 1960 they photographed here. And that pillar of fire, I want to be with them right here today. So open the word as you open to the prophet. They say, won't you walk with me and overshadow him as you overshadowed him? That cloud overshadowed him in the mountain. But I did not prophet, I gave him power to speak into existence. Want to give it to every son of God that can place positionally with authority. You know, obey him and trust him and stand with his word within you. The election, how to obtain it? Paul said, we obtained something. Look at the Gentiles who had the promise of the coming of Elijah, the promise of the Son of Man being revealed, the promise of the seven seals being opened, the promise of Elijah will restore things in the last days. The Jews had the covenants, they had the promises, they had the tabernacle service, they had the adoption. The Gentiles had the promises, all these things are coming in the end time. Greater work than these shall you do also. And the hour when Elijah had come, and the hour when the greatest light that ever shined was shining, they rejected it. Think of it. So Ishmael and Esau was right there in Abraham's seed. One persecuting the true heir, and the other one despising the birthright. Yet they was right there, and yet they wasn't considered. Though they were blessed of God. Though Esau was blessed by his prophet father too. Though he can hunt, and he can catch nice game, and bring his prophet father too. You know what? And you see, that guy just made him just yesterday. But why is put? Every scripture is put there. Because see, when it comes down, this elephant is going to be the one in the election. Yes, Englishmen. Persecuting. Every message. Preach that in the church. Preach against me. Preach against that. Beat this thing. Beat that thing. That's all. No relationship. No fellowship. No truth opening. No. The evil spirit raises his hand against his brother continually. You see in them Esau spirits. Boy, they hold on to the birthright. They glad for it for a while. They talk about it. But then, let them see something that they like outside in the world. That same word that they talk about, they're holding on, they talk about, they can dump it just as quickly. They'll go out after some economic business. Morsel of meat for the flesh. Fleshly appetite, carnal appetites. And after you see that they went out for you and get it, you want to turn back around and get back the boot right now. No. The Paul is in God's not unfaithful until his promises. Notice friends, after Romans 1-8, you went to right here, Romans 1-8. Gentiles was guilty, Jews was guilty, the whole world was guilty. Romans 4, blessed the man God imputes into. Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, you have peace with God. Romans 6, identified the death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 7, the old husband is dead, you come into unity with him. Romans 8,
There is no new condemnation. And men are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. In the same Spirit is Christ dwelling in the thinking of our body. See, we groan and waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. And from 1963, when the whole world was brought guilty, and this generation was indicted for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we was right there in Romans 3. All have sinned, every denomination had come short. 1996, think of it. Here we are waiting for the redemption of the body, having the first fruits, the earnest of the inheritance already. Quicken and raise up, led by the Spirit. And now it's going back to Israel. Romans 9, 10, and 11. And here we see Gentiles being blinded just as them. Israel is blinded from the feet of the Passover, all the way to the trumpets. That's what it's blinded from. They couldn't see the feast. They couldn't enjoy the feast. They couldn't partake of the feast. They saw the Passover bread there, and they couldn't see it. They saw the Passover lamb, and they couldn't identify with it. They saw the first fruit being weighed, and they didn't believe it. They said they stole the body and everything else. They saw the feast of Pentecost where the Holy Ghost poured in the church. They said these men are drunk with new wine. Think of it. They are back in the homeland. And they still don't know who they are. What tribe they're from. What the inheritance is. They still don't know. But when it comes, the next feast, they have atonement. They can't be blind no more. They can't be blind no more. The only time left in the feet of Pentecost, he was Son of God. But he promised, in that day when the Son of Man shall be with him, it couldn't be in the churches. He was here, Son of God. The only time left after the feet of Pentecost is the time between the feet of trumpets and the day of atonement. 1946 to 1990, 50 years. When the Son of Man went out, young rabbi healing the sick first day, God brings everything to its end on that ministry of the Son of Man. It's going to come to the end here. But the Son of Man ministry always ends with the resurrection, always ends with the earthquake. The last part is what preaches to the lost. It means you only get preached to the Lord. Time is no more. It's finished. Preaching is doomed because only after the door's been shut, when mercy is finished, when the door's been shut, nobody can come and go out, then it will go to the lost. To think of what has been happening from souls in prison, November 1963, he says it's going to come to this time one day. He said, now is not the time. He said, I pray that now is not the time. And God hear that prayer. God long-suffered because a man stood in the gap. He had tried to run and God sent him back to stand him. A man who is both God and man could stand on behalf of a sinful man and bridge the gap between a holy God. And one who could intercede to take God's wrath. If something is waking up in your heart, if you're losing something, you're wrong. In other words, you had something, but you find like you're the way it used to be. You're losing your joy. You're losing your peace. You're not jealous no more. You just have expectation of time. It's like you're so involved, but now you can't be that much more involved. You are regressing. You are losing something. You had something you can't keep a hold of no more. If you have something that is adding to it, you have faith and you add to that faith virtue. You have virtue and you add to that virtue knowledge. And you add to that knowledge temperance. And you find something keep building in you, something keep changing, something getting stronger inside of you. Then you know one of these days this mortal will put on immortality. Something is ripening inside of you. Then you know you're sitting in the presence of the Son and that greenness, them desires. Them things that have been strongholds in the mind battles, you are shaken, toss you. You find out you have a way to get your arm into the sleeve. You're wearing yourself out no more. You learn how to cut the corners. You ain't splashing up into the water. You ain't getting all frantic when a situation comes. You trust God now. You know something is happening. You see that
when you yield, when you submit, when you obey, God sees those things. There's a time here. You know, Brother Branham, you see there's many people here in the pull of the hour, good people. They know something is happening. You feel the pull of the hour. But you don't know exactly what is taking place. And if you just message, I want to read here on this, recognize the message. He said it has been the hardest message I've ever had to hear. He said, then God really show me something to show the people the time they're living in. To show you how God had remembered his word. Something was moving right in the earth. After the seas opened, he knew God had to place these things in its perspective. So the church could know the coming of the Lord is at hand. Our faith could be based on something. We're not just saying, you see, hope you can kill. The Lord coming, yes. That doesn't mean the Lord coming. That might be a sign that the world has deteriorated. And the world deteriorated to such a point would be one of the conditions existing in the all of the coming of the Lord. Look at the church in a lukewarm condition. That doesn't necessarily mean the Lord is coming. That shows the church will be in that condition in the hour of the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes by, he shall return with a shout, with a voice. When those things that we place in those conditions, when that mystery, the wise virgins, the announcement of the Holy Bride coming, when they begin to move into the lamp coming time, when they begin to see the opening of that door to move into the bridegroom, when the foolish virgin, when those things begin to be identified, they don't identify outside there some condition or system in the world, they try to get on the lives of the people. When they begin to look up and lift up their head, knowing the redemption to at night, because they understand the Holy Ghost has come to claim them who the blood was shed for. And they've been quickened and claimed and been brought into their position in the Word. And they begin to move into a rapturing faith because they see that position in the Word now. They begin to hold them thoughts and everything in subjection to the Word. They begin to display the life of Christ now because they're in union with Him. Those people have a testimony that they are in the coming of the Lord. Now remember the man who don't have that. The prophet and the will of God says, there are many natural things out there, earthly and diverse things, men have things to fear, nation against them. He said, all the world sees that. On United Time and Time, he said, the Western world uniting, Eastern world uniting, churches uniting, governments uniting, armies uniting. He said, all the world can see that. He said, they are not a uniting. I want to point you to. He said, the bride uniting the world. He says, all the great things happening there, the world can see that, but I want to show the great happenings in the spiritual realm. When you begin to see that the rapture now is a revelation only for the bride. When she's going to come out with the testimony of that rapture promise, that rapture mystery unfolding in her own life, then it's no longer just the conditions out there. The birth pains are here. Christ has been formed on the inside. A woman when her hour is come. Know that is a form, it's about the born into manifestation. That's where the believer, you're walking in the Word, you're walking in close union, you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're here in the Word, you're being posted, you're being focused, you're striving for certain things to get a hold of it, you're looking for the deliverance in your own life, you're looking for the liberty in the Spirit, you're looking to see God anoint you and give you power in the to serve in the place where He's called you. Power to serve in the place He's called you. You have power and the Holy Ghost has come upon you, friends. That Holy Ghost that empowers you for service. Yes, sir. And that is why, in this hour, we so want to stay awakened, stay refreshed, stay in tune. We so want to be mixing with faith. Because the presence of God is among His people. But let it be unrecognized. Let the sensitivity in us come to such a refined state. And the prophet, if you feel that presence, Lord, you are here.
He said, Lord, you are here somewhere. You take his hat off and stand to his feet. Why? You know when that person's coming. You haven't close to it. See? All eyes uncircumcised, ears uncircumcised, lips uncircumcised. His entire being is coming to consecration to God. To be used, to be a vessel. Prepared unto every good work, fit for the master's use. See, body presented, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. A channel of communication. A vessel of honor that God willing to show forth the riches of his mercy in the vessels of honor. And to show forth his wrath in the...
Here he's cutting them off again. And the Jews is being grafted back in place. That's the hour when you see you're going to be with the crowd out there. But D1 was taken. D1. And as the songwriter said, I'm so glad to see that I'm one of them. There's something in you. You know you're one of them. You haven't chosen, I've chosen you. You come like a thief in the night. Come like a thief and to steal you away. He came for you. His thoughts was in you. You thought nobody knew you. You thought you were unlovable. You felt so rejected in the world. You tried to fit in. You couldn't fit in. Sometimes Satan give you things to hold in a certain place and distract your attention. But somehow, God is able to get to your heart. Somehow God is able to get your attention. And begin to reveal himself to you. Begin to show his love to you. You'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. You'd rather have Jesus than riches and toll. Why? You tasted of it, friends. It's a reality to you. In your heart, you want to serve him. You want to stand for the world. You want to live right. You want to know how better you can serve him. You want to know how closer you can walk. You want to know how, if you count his word completely, you want him to answer back. You want to see the signs of his approval. So you can have rest and peace because you know you're trying your best to please him and represent him. Your life is taken up with these things. You're not out there pursuing different things. You know, God will give you them things. God will give you a full press down and running over. You have confidence that God will do it. Amen. And you put God first in your life. You're not trying to escape hell or anything. You just want to become a more useful, a more profitable servant, a more effective instrument in his service. Don't you desire that tonight? Don't you feel that in your heart? When you get by yourself, when you get tender before the Lord, when the Holy Spirit comes close to you, that's the way you want. You just want to be washed in right into his presence. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. All of us desire that tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you and we praise you, dear God. We exalt your mighty name tonight. How great is our God and greatly to be praised. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for the close of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word of encouragement that we feel coming down into our hearts to encourage us, Lord. Lord God, to let us know we belong to you, Lord. Oh, God, that you have set your affection upon us, Lord. Lord, in your great predestined mystery, Lord. Lord God, you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, God, we are part of that remnant. Like you could have killed Elijah back in that time. I have 7,000 and bowed on the knees to that Jezebel system. Here they are, God, in this hour of famine, in this hour of drought, when religion and politics, Lord God, in a union again, when false prophets, Lord, deceiving the people in the land is full of idolatry. Oh, God, Elijah coming and telling back their hearts to the children. Lord God, in the evening time, Lord God, will realize, Father, that in the midst of all that conglomeration, you had a little group, Lord. You had a little predestined bride, Father. Oh, God. A little handful, Lord, that you love. You say, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. Hallelujah. I have a few names in Sardis. I have a few names in the bride age. Hallelujah. I will not blot the names out. I will blot the sin out, but I will not blot the names out. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we stand with the confidence today. Lord God, your word has taken effect, Lord. Many people think it hasn't been fulfilled because it's in the minority. It looks too ordinary, Lord. It seems that more people should be believing it. It seems we should have a greater crowd following it. But Lord God, when we look at the scriptures, when we look at how conclusively it has been fulfilled, how precise, every detail, the time, the
veil. You are a limitation upon it. Your true intention and meaning have been made plain to us. Oh God, you weren't talking about all Christians. You were talking about Christians inwardly, Father. Oh God, them were the faith, Lord. Them were the faith of Brother Branham, Lord. They were faith of Branham, Lord. Like faith of Abraham, they are blessed, Lord. Oh God, the same faith that the fear discouraged. Same faith who said, if God show me the red George Washington, I'll find the whole world to see it. Same faith that say, I'm not ashamed to say I'm going to meet 70 angels out in Arizona. Same faith, Lord, could see the work of the Holy Spirit in them dreams and them visions, tying in with the scriptures, Lord, could prophesy, says, is this the time? Oh, God, that same faith that falls close down to his life, from a little boy to an old man. He said, these are the things I wanted all my life, but now I'm still coming to pass in this hour. Oh, God, much of my friends will leave me when I begin to identify and say Jesus in bride form. Oh, God, is the bride coming in the bride age? But, Lord, he had to do it, Lord, because he said, in that day you will know I am you and you in me. Oh, my God, we thank you, Father. They who have that precious faith, Lord, they who have the same kind of faith, they who are standing, Lord, in the same place, the continuation of the same word in this hour. Lord, the seed after its kind, same kind of people in the same kind of hour, Lord, facing the same kind of conditions, expressing the same kind of faith, yet we see them in the humanity, in weakness, crying by the grave of a loved one, going hungry many times, tired and weary and sleepy many times. But yet, Lord, we see little intervals, Lord, where deity is expressed, Father. Oh, God, to show that it's God in his humanity and yet in his deity, Father. We thank you, oh God. The world stumbles over the humanity. But this is the hour, Father, when deity will be displayed again. When the mighty God will be unveiled again. Oh, how we pray that you will make these things so real. May the faith grasp that tonight. May it go deep down in that bedroom of faith, Father. And may the Holy Spirit walk it and bring it to life and empower your children, Lord, in such a way that they can know that they too, Lord, is given this promise. They too can make the confession, it's not I that live, but Christ that live in me. Because all true Christians, all Christians inwardly, must make that confession, Father. We see denominations is only filled with people, oh God, who are Christians outwardly. But Lord, the message of the hour, the true seed that come to bring the true birth, being born again, not a corruptible denominational seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Son of Man. Hallelujah, the word of God that abideth forever. Oh God, a message of the seven seals. After we believe the word of truth, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We thank you, Father, for this quickening. We thank you for this realization. We thank you for this reality, Lord. A Holy Ghost filled church, an anointed church in this hour. Marching on with Christian soldiers. Marching in the rhythm of the word, dear God. May we live in that faith. May that is a victory that overcomes this world, Father. The world, this present evil world and the things that are in it. But dear God, you've given us something. Something, oh God, on the inside, Lord. He that is in you. Hallelujah. The word anointed and quickened. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this reality. May you make it real tonight. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters here, Father. I pray for the officers in the assembly here. I pray for the ministry here in the assembly, oh God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, may through your great grace and your mercy, Father, may you hold our hearts and our minds in the place where the Holy Spirit can operate in this hour. As we feel that you want to let loose, Lord. As we feel you want to move deeper down in the souls of your children. As we feel you want to raise them up a little higher and give them a greater faith, Lord. Because you want to confirm your promise in their lives. Because that is how you are glorified in this hour, Lord. That is the way you're going to do it. Your name will be glorified and be admired and all of them will believe. And you will fulfill the work of faith with power. You said you will do it in that hour when you shall be revealed from heaven with your mighty angels in flaming fire. Didn't you say it, Lord? Lord God, you spoke these things when you committed vengeance upon them that obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know we are living in that hour. We see it identified in the Bible. We see so many years have passed and run out, Lord. And here we are, Father, when these things are to be. Help us to move into thy faith tonight. Help us like eagles, oh God, to break through every barrier, Lord. Every pressure, Lord. Oh, God, and climb up, Lord, a little higher. Lord, in the spirit, where we can see these things become personalized. May you grant it, Lord. Bless the young ones in the assembly, oh God. Pour your spirit upon them, Father. You said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, God. Lord, you didn't just promise to give us one baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we can have as many baptisms, oh God. You can fill and refill and refill and refill, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I pray there comes a surge of the Holy Ghost in this hour, Lord. Oh, God, your good supernatural presence and power will move like never before, Father. You'll have to train church in harmony with you, with faith to carry your word. A church walking in obedience and humble submission, oh God, Father, to the headship of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, people can come from the outside and come in and know surely the presence of God is in this place. May you grant it, Lord. They say this is no other than the gate to heaven. Oh, God, you will show yourself alive by infallible proofs. May you grant it, Father. May you grant it, we pray. We are believing you and we are trusting you. And we know you are faithful to your promise because you are the author and the finisher. Father, that is where we rest our faith, Lord. That is where we tower soul. That is where we have our consolation, dear God, that it is impossible for you to lie. Oh, God, may that faith become stronger and stronger inside of us, Lord. Bless your people tonight. Touch each and every one, Lord. Lord God, that's all that matters. Our life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch you, Lord. That's just to believe on your name. And so we are believing tonight. We are releasing the faith that you give to us. As we feel you passing by, Father. As we feel that your presence is near here tonight. As we feel that you come to Hope Road tonight. And you come down in the back of this house. Lord, in this little building where we gather so many times, Father. Lord God, we are believing tonight. We can go with a portion. A little bit of portion of your life inside of us. A little bit of quickening. A little bit of the influence of the Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. Lord God, we're going to leave with that tonight, Father. We know it's not yet over, dear God. We can still have that, Lord. Oh, God, we can go strengthened, oh God. As we relax in your presence, as we let go. That you can have your own wonderful way, Father. Just brood upon us by the Holy Ghost tonight. Just brood upon us, Lord. Just let the breath of the living God, let the spirit of the living God now breathe in us, Lord. May you grant it tonight. We yield, oh God, to you, Father. We yield. We humble ourselves to you. We open up our hearts. Come into our heart, Lord Jesus. Come in, oh God. Let the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, like a dove, just flutter in tonight. Oh God, we can be better representatives, Lord. We can really stand, oh God. We can carry this word in such obedience, in such detail, with such completeness, dear God. You'd be pleased, Father. There'd be a satisfaction, a look of satisfaction come across your face, dear God, to say, this is my beloved bride. Oh, I told the devil she was going to stand. I told the devil she'd believe. He said she was going to believe. I knew she was going to believe. She's predestined to stand another fall. Look at them recognizing the place in this hour. Oh, that's my children. Lord, how we want to see that look upon your face, dear God. We pray that your Holy Spirit tonight, let's move. Move as we open up our heart and we yield, oh God. Come, draw nearer, Father. Draw nearer. He said, if we draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto us. Oh, God, let there be such a contact tonight. Such a contact with you tonight, Lord. Oh, grant it, Father. May you grant it tonight. May you grant it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give our hands to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. How great is our God. Blessed be the rock of our salvation. Let that faith ignite, Lord. Strengthen your faith in your children, Lord. Oh, God, encourage them, Lord. Lord, anchor them, Lord. Drive away every devil that's trying to hinder them, Lord. Give them discernment, Lord. Let their senses be exercised to discern them. Let them be confused, Lord. Let the voice of the Spirit become clear. Let them follow with confidence, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Touching Jesus is all that matters. And our life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch him. To believe as we call on his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
is all that is. That's all that really matters tonight. Remember, this service Sunday. Pray for you to come Friday night. God bless you.
We'll never be the same. There is only one way to touch just. When you call on His name, oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Hallelujah. And my life will never be the same. Oh yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, there is one thing. Just when you call, hallelujah, oh, touching Jesus, oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and my life will never be there is. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, one just believe. Just when you call on me, oh, one more time, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Oh, touching Jesus, hallelujah. Will never be the same. Oh, there is only one way to touch. Just